This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As people make their way back out in public, maybe even head back to work, county health departments will be on the front line of preventing a second surge of infections. So how exactly do they prepare to do that, and what's it going to mean for the spread of the virus in their communities? Dr. Adam London is director of the Kent County Health Department, and he joins us now. Dr. London, welcome to Stateside.
Hey, thank you. Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
When we talk about lifting the stay-at-home orders and reopening certain sectors of the economy, such as bars and restaurants, is the county ready for that?
Well, I think that we are ready for it. However, I think that we're also in a very vulnerable position. You know, we have seen that the numbers decline steadily over the past month. We saw what we believe to be have been our peak in late April, early May, at least here in Kent County. But we recognize that we're in a vulnerable position now, and we're not going to get to a risk-free, virus-free environment for a long time, if ever. And so we need the participation and the collaboration of employers, of the community, in order to make sure that we keep this as under control as we can, especially for the next year until we have a vaccine available.
Right. Even as Southeast Michigan's seeing its curve start to flatten, we know that West Michigan's is still on the rise. And now Kent County's case numbers are beginning to trend downward. Do you feel like the community has made it through the initial surge?
I do. And when we look at the epidemiological curve for this, we actually saw the highest rate of daily cases between about April 29th and May 2nd. And since that time, we have been trending downward with our daily case rate. Also, our positivity rate, the percentage of our tests that are coming up positive. So that's all trending in a great direction. We also know that we have had a more aggressive testing strategy here in Kent County that I think other areas of the state have employed. And so we've sent strike teams of employees from the health department to some of those higher risk vulnerable settings, places like long-term care homes, shelters for those experiencing homelessness, our juvenile detention, our jail, places like that to make sure that we're looking for the virus and not just waiting for people to show up, sick people to show up at the hospital.
What are those teams doing?
They're actually testing. So for example, we went to two of our largest homeless shelters here in Grand Rapids, and we tested their entire guest population, which was almost 270 people, regardless of whether or not they were symptomatic or not. And what we found in that first run of tests was a positivity rate of about 27%. We then isolated those individuals who were positive, and we made sure that we had a separate facility for them where they could recover in dignity. And remaining in isolation from the rest of the population, which was negative. And then we retested a couple weeks later. And when we retested the population, those who were previously negative and new guests, we found that the rate of positivity had dropped to 7%. We then isolated that group, and we tested the remaining population a couple weeks later. It had gone down to 3%. And last week, it was down below 2%. So we're seeing the strategy of looking for cases in those highly vulnerable environments is useful for stopping small outbreaks before they become large ones, but also for reducing the overall rate of prevalence. These tools are not perfect, but testing in partnership with isolation and quarantine and using PPE and health screenings, all imperfect tools, but taken together, they can be effective in battling COVID-19.
You've talked in recent weeks about the increased spread of infections in Kent County's Latino community, in part because many people in that community serve in essential industries. We know that COVID-19 has also hit African American communities in the state hard. Do you anticipate that reopening could heighten the disparity in infection rates that's already a problem?
Yeah, it's a concern that we have. And we're seeing about 39% of our positive cases identify as Hispanic, and about 19 or 20% identify as African-American or Black. And those rates are significantly higher than their prevalence of the overall population. And so, you know, we know that those groups have consisted of a large portion of our, quote, essential workforce over the past few months, working in in food service and other service industries critical for society. We also know that that they suffer from adverse health effects because of disparities in health equity and social injustice at a higher rate than the rest of the community, and often have underlying health conditions because of that at a higher rate. So they're vulnerable. There's also language barriers, a number of challenges that we have. Now, we have been very active in trying to address those issues. In fact, we've opened more testing sites in communities that have very high percentages of Hispanic and African-American populations. We're also doing much more with translation and with working out and working with employers to make sure that they have the information that they need to protect their employees as best as possible. But it's going to be a battle. And one thing I think is very important is that we all realize that we're not going to beat this pandemic unless we all beat it together. And as long as we have high rates of infection in any part of our community, our entire community remains vulnerable, because this will spill from one group to another so long as those disparities remain.
Hmm. Aside from what you've already mentioned, what kinds of questions are you getting from the business community right now as they get ready to get their operations back on track?
Oh, lots of questions. So we're getting questions about interpreting the executive orders. We're getting questions about masks and PPE. And so
are people able, I'm sorry for interrupting, are people able to get what they need?
In many cases, the answer is yes. But in some cases, especially with smaller businesses, they really struggle. They don't have the same HR and purchasing infrastructure that large businesses have. We have created a KentCountyBackToWork.com website that has our guidance. It also has links to how people can get PPE from Kent County if they're a small business located in Kent County, along with thermometers for their employee health screenings and an employee health screening tool. So we're very thankful that we've been able to get this resource to them before they reopen. There's a lot they can do. You know, there's a lot that they can do to make their place of work as low risk as possible for their employees and their customers. One thing we're very careful, though, is we want to make sure that everyone understands that we're not going to get to a totally safe environment where, you know, safe to me implies absence of risk. And there is going to be some risk. We need to focus on mitigating that risk and making it a low risk place of work and place of business.
Public health workers like yours have always done contact tracing. Usually, though, it's been something like measles or STDs. The novel coronavirus requires this on a scale that's really not very much like anything that we've seen before. How have you been preparing for that?
Yeah, so, you know, thankfully, we have lots of experience in doing contact tracing and case investigation because of all those other infectious diseases that are reportable that we work with on an ongoing basis. This has been to a level, an order of magnitude far greater than what we have previous experience with. So we have trained other staff in our department, which was kind of the easy first thing to do because we had so many other service areas that had paused, whether it was our vaccination program or our well and septic program, health education programs were all, you know, paused for a while. And so we trained those staff to fill the gap.
So for starters, you're just getting more people involved. Yeah,
exactly. More people, volunteers. We brought in temporaries from the outside as well. So that's been a huge help to us. The challenge now is that those other programs are going to reopen here very soon. Our vaccination program, we've got to get that going. That's very important to us. All of our other programs are critical as well. So we're going to lose our own staff to their normally regularly assigned lines of work. And so we're working right now to bring in more temporary employees from the outside.
We have a little less than a minute left. Can you give us a sense of what you're keeping an eye out for in terms of warning signs that maybe things aren't going according to plan with the reopen?
Sure. So, you know, I have a lot of skepticism with the case numbers because we all know there's far more cases than what have been tested. I think the best measure is hospital inpatient rates. And we work closely with the hospitals to keep an eye on that because that, you know, severity of symptoms and what gets people hospitalized doesn't really change very much. So we're watching that along with our death numbers. And that's the most tragic outcome of this, but also it's an outcome that is hard to dispute, even though some have tried quite a bit recently. And as we see our death numbers stabilize and fall, and as we see our hospital inpatient numbers remain solid, and they have, our hospitals are in great condition right now, and they've all been very vocal about that. Those are things that we're going to watch very carefully. A resurgence in inpatient rates or a resurgence in death numbers would be very concerning to us.
Dr. London, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, April. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Adam London is director of Kent County's Public Health Department.